Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 77 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am a fan of both the woman, Dawn Champine, and her new offering to both women and men everywhere, The Goddess Diaries. I am also, as you may know, the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Block Talk Radio. Did I just say Block Talk? I meant Blog Talk. Blog Talk Radio. And I am in an extra super duper kooky excited mood today. And you are about to find out why. So remember last week when I said that I was going to have my friend Dawn Champine back on the show in a couple of weeks? Well, I lied. It is not true. I am not having her on in a couple of weeks. I am having her on this week, as in right now. Yay! Woohoo! And I'm really excited to get to share my amazing, super knowledgeable, super wise friend with you all, and to give you a break from the meanness of this show. So before I go off on one of my infamous tangents, I would like to welcome my friend, Dawn Champine, onto the show. Welcome, Dawn.
Well, thank you, Joanna. What a great intro there.
I think we've got to know each other so well that I'm like, woohoo! Look at my friend! I know the awesomeness that you bring, and I'm so excited that you're about to bring it in such a major way with the Goddess Diaries. So take it away. Tell us what the Goddess Diaries is.
Oh, my gosh. Where do I begin? Oh, okay. So, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show again to talk about this because, as you and I have talked in the background, you know, this is something that is very near and dear to my heart. The Goddess Diaries, let's see. It is a project that I have been working on. Actually, gosh, it's been 4 years now in the making.
Wow. Well, let's take it back to the beginning. Let's start from the very, very beginning.
Okay.
How was the Goddess Diaries born?
Perfect. Well, let's see. I went back to school after the economic collapse of 2007-2008. I decided to go back to school and finish my degree in psychology and communication, which ended up being a social work path. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. For one of my courses that I took in 2010, I had to have a project. It was a semester-long project, and it culminated in a workshop that I called the Goddess Diaries. What the workshop was all about, it was intended for women to take a look at their own story and connect it to ancient mythology and just find that resonance between the ancient archetypal energies and their own story, and then through some intensive journaling exercises and self-reflection, it was a workshop designed to basically give women a sense of comfort that comes along with knowing that really there's no experience that is new. Others may have gone through it before, and if others have survived it, you can too.
Mm.
That's a deal.
I love that.
And so, yeah, and it was, and Joanna, I was not prepared at all for the outcome of the workshop. It like, women were just like, oh, my gosh. You know, the women, the participants of that particular workshop were like, oh, my gosh, I cannot get enough of this. And so finding those goddess stories and taking a look at it in relation to their own life experience kind of gave them a sense of, oh, I don't know, action steps or whatever to help overcome and move on, you know, process the story and move on with their life. And so then over the years, I had offered various incarnations of that workshop in my local community to the general public. And so we've explored different goddess stories. We've explored phases of the moon. We've explored, you know, manifesting with the moon, all under the Goddess Diaries title, I guess. But it's always been kind of a workshop type of thing. So it was really interesting over this past year, I found myself just really feeling pulled, drawn to that particular, like that was where all the energy, my energy was going, and that's where all of the requests were coming from in my line of work. And it was like, you know, I think I need to build this out a little bit more. I need to do something about
yeah.
it. And so with your, you know, talking to you and the encouragement that I received from you and a couple of other friends, it was like, yeah, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, you know what it is, too? It's just who you are. Like, you carry that knowledge and that wisdom, and you tell those stories in a way. I mean, I am the ultimate non-believer, like, with the goddess stuff. It has been such a challenge for me, and it's something that I've really actively pursued in recent years because all of my witchy friends are into that stuff, and I'm like, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey, but you have a way of presenting it that it is ancient, but it's also completely relatable to a modern woman. So I'm just excited that you're going to offer that for people like me who don't naturally gravitate toward that, you know, because it is for everybody. It just depends on how you present it.
Exactly. Well, you know, I tell you, I am a busy mom. I have a full-time job. I'm raising a family. I'm in a relationship, a committed relationship, and I don't really have as much time as I would love to have to get my goddess groove on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, it's been kind of really cathartic to really go down this path and really work on this because it gives me an opportunity to really explore that for myself personally, but it's not about me. It's more about, really, I recognize the fact that, you know, these women are asking for this. People are coming to me asking, when are you going to do another Goddess Diaries workshop? Well, let me tell you. The other thing is that, you know, there's a couple of other things, too. It's not just that you know, I'm creating this for myself to explore, get my own goddess groove on, but I figure, you know, if I'm out here feeling this way, I know there's probably a lot of other women who are feeling this way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And why not put the wheels in motion? And I love goddess stories. It's something that I've always really been drawn to, even as a little girl. But the thing is like, I think the world right now is saturated with the patriarchal versions of these stories, you know, like there's a lot of goddess stories out there that are victims of like mythic inversion, which basically means that.
Oh, I love that. Mythic inversion. Everybody write that down.
Write that down. Mythic inversion basically means that, you know, these goddess stories, these are stories that describe the origins of a particular goddess, and through the shift from a matriarchal society to a patriarchal society, there was a slant to the point of view in the story itself, to which the goddesses were no longer creations of their own right or their own sovereignty or whatever, but that they were then created by the gods themselves. For instance, I can tell you like the story of Athena,
yes,
who was born of Zeus's head, right? She was birthed from the head of Zeus, which, as the story goes, that's why she's so wise and, you know, whatever. But there's a story more ancient than the Greek myth that we know today that says that Athena was born of her own right. I mean, she was always knowledge incarnate. So it's just an interesting thing to find, you know, these older ancient goddess stories that are not part of that mythic inversion.
Yes. And so, you know what? I think the stories, too, like with Athena, because she's been like my girl this year, and I've tried to learn everything I can about her, but the whole thing about Medusa and her blaming Medusa for being raped and things like that, I think you have to ask yourself, would a goddess do this, or is this, did a man write this?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah, so that was another thing, too, that I found, like, just in researching different goddess stories. Like, you come across a lot of, I keep bringing up the Greek and the Roman myths because that seems to be the most common genre that we have available to us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, I've been working on the story of Pandora, and Pandora was originally, she was the first human, right? According to Greek myth or the Hesiod version of the story, she was punishment by Zeus. Zeus offered her as a form of punishment to humans for receiving the gift of fire from Prometheus. And so what the heck is that? You know, why? What? But the more ancient story says that she was formed of the earth, that she comes from Mother Gaia.
Mm.
And so in the semantics of those stories, in the Mother Gaia version, she was known as the all-giving. But in the later version, the patriarchal version, the semantics changed and she was the all-gifted. Because in that story, all of the gods gave her different gifts to bestow upon humans once she came to Earth, right? So it's just an interesting switch and an interesting slant. But it's
yes.
subtle enough that we don't recognize it as we're looking at that, right? So what the Goddess Diaries hopes to do is to take you back to those ancient stories and find the connection there, you know, and find the you know, less shame, less blame, and just be okay with your story and who you are and find that connection.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and can I also just add, too, in my opinion, if there are any men listening right now, that for me, I mean, this information, these paradigm shifts back to the way it was way back when, it's important for mm-hmm. everybody. And patriarchy isn't about men against women. Patriarchy does not benefit men just like it does not benefit women. It's been a detriment to everybody. And it's a hierarchical system that, you know, only mm-hmm. the lucky few get to be at the tippy top of. And so I just feel like throwing that out there because we were talking about patriarchy.
I absolutely agree with that. I am a mother. I have my biological son and my stepson. And I have to constantly defend that because, you know, I think there's a misperception out there when women say, down with the patriarchy, you know, that a lot of people are hearing, down with men, which is absolutely not true at all. And as a mother of boys, I feel it is my duty to stand here and say it takes both men and women to perpetuate the sins of patriarchy. You know, it's not about women versus men. It's about getting rid of a system of oppression. And
mm-hmm.
that oppression is found in our stories. And so if we don't look to uncover the real meaning behind those stories, we still live in a state of oppression, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to look between the lines there, read between the lines, and really question those things. You know, like, was this written through the lens of patriarchy? Was this written by a man? Was this, you know? And it's not mm-hmm. just a man. It's his worldview as imposed on him by a system of oppression.
Absolutely. And I think everybody, I think as a society, we're starting to open up to this anyway. Like, you can even see Disney is trying to make the effort. If Disney's trying to make the effort, that says a lot to me because, you know, that's like the top of the pyramid. And a lot of people, you know, we have our Disney conspiracy theories and all of this stuff. But I just thought, like, wow, I mean, if it's happening on the commercial level, if people are craving these stories, you know, what did we just have? Maleficent, if we're craving like a rewrite or a do-over, like, you know, I'm sure people that are having an even deeper, more spiritual approach to the goddess stories, they're going to crave something even more authentic.
Absolutely. And I just think that it's a return to our authenticity is what it really speaks to. People are craving that. I don't want to say truth because I think there's a lot of weirdness wrapped up in that word in terms of spirituality, but I think it's authenticity.
Wholeness.
That
I like the word whole. I like the word wholeness because it just embraces the light and the dark, and I think it's so much about shame too. You mentioned shame, and we have a shame-based culture really, and
we really
I think. Going back and reaching into the originals of these stories, perhaps that can help heal some of that shame that we're carrying on an individual level.
Absolutely.
So how will you be presenting this all to us? Like, how do we participate in the Goddess Diaries? What's that going to look like and feel like? Because this is, you're taking this online, so this is going to be something everybody can participate in.
Exactly. So since the beginning in 2010, the workshops have been offered here locally live. And then I branched out late last year, was it? Or, gosh, it seems, was it 2013? I can't even remember. The time is speeding up. It was late last year. I branched out and offered a couple of workshops via live stream, and they were well attended, both live and on live stream. I call them hybrid workshops, but that is when, you know, the momentum started to build. And then I kept getting questions. I was like, no, I can't. I don't have time for this. And finally, I just had to, like, lay everything down and just give myself some space to let this come up, you know, bubble up and create itself, basically. And so, yes, the long answer to the question is, yes, I'm taking it online. I'm moving everything from live in-person workshops to an online format. So hopefully to reach the masses here. But there's going to be, so I'll have my blog, and there will be a podcast, weekly podcast, and then lots of really cool stuff in between. So, like, I've got a couple of ideas that I'm actually working on right now, pre-production on some offerings on, I don't want to say yet, but some really cool stuff that's coming up. But yeah,
and the manifesting with the moon is still going to be a part of that. I mean, you are losing the Miss Bliss moniker that we talked about earlier, but really manifesting with the moon is a Goddess Diaries thing. So that is staying.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Correct.
And people can take that. Like, every month you offer that, right?
Absolutely, yep. At the new moon. It's a four-week-long e-course that begins every new moon. So we just started another one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Virgo
That's a great program.
Cycle. So it's just so much fun. So, yeah, exactly. And I was going to say, too, I listened to your episode, your podcast last week about the liminal topic, and oh my gosh, that's one of my favorite topics, but I wanted to say thank
you
for mentioning me in that. And yes, again, connecting to the story here, yes, this has been an intense time of transition, and so, you know, it's been really, really interesting, and I've learned a lot, and I can't wait to share with everybody what, you know, everything that has gone on over the last couple of months, and just going forward. You'd mentioned earlier, too, something about, you know, making the goddess more accessible. I wanted to really bring that point home, too, because that's something that really has stuck in my craw over the past, I don't know how long. You know, you're talking about being a pagan woman and speaking with other, well, I don't know if you're, if you identify, I'm sure you do, but label yourself that way, I should say. But just speaking with other people of like mind in that regard, and how we tend to identify with a particular goddess. Like, I know so many women who have a matron goddess, you know, and a devotee of, you know, Hecate, for instance, or, you know, whoever, for instance. And, you know, it's, that is a beautiful thing, but that's never been me. I've never really strongly identified with one particular goddess. And there came a point in my journey when I was really struggling with this, like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't connect with just one, and what does this mean for me? You know, and I've spent all this time studying and searching and da-da-da-da-da, and how do I, you know, and it really caused a lot of anxiety for me, and I feel like there's just a lot of goddess dogma out there.
Goddess dogma.
Really put me into this tailspin. You know, it was like, well, you can't have a goddess circle unless you do this, or you can't talk about that goddess unless you are her devotee, or, you know, and goddess bless all of you people who have your matron goddess. I love that. I'm not dissing that at all. What I am saying is that I think that it is perfectly fine and acceptable to explore the goddess in all of her different facets, you know, and so really, I think that that dogma really makes it inaccessible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I want to get rid of that. That's one thing that I really just, you know, it just makes me cringe. And so that is something that, that is a huge goal of mine with the Goddess Diaries. So I really want to provide a space where people can come and connect in their own way, you know, and really do a little, you know, searching of their own and combine it with their own experience and connect in their own way to the stories that are so relevant to our modern life, and just get rid of that dogma. And, you know, it's not your mother's goddess circle, I'll just say that.
I really believe, I mean, I think that the goddess is something for everybody to tap into. It's not a pagan thing. It, I mean, it's very prevalent in that community, but there are a lot of women and men, both, that are searching for this and interested in this that don't identify as pagan. So I think it's, I think your audience is far and wide, and people are curious, and I know who you are. I know how you're going to present it. I may have even had a little sneak peek at the website, and I know that it is badass, modern, fresh, and, yeah, it's all good. And they can find that. You want to give them the URL so they can go check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, the official launch is on the full moon, harvest full moon, September 8th. And so what is up right now is a little stub site, but you can go check it out. It's www.thegoddessdiaries.org. And just check it out. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can listen to a little clip that I have available there talking about new moon energies, which is the perfect time to do right now.
Right.
You know, just leave me some love mail. I'd love to hear from you guys. So, yeah, you can check it out there. And like
what
I said,
launch,
the official
launch. What's the launch going to be like? Like, because I know you have fun things planned for that, too.
Well, the launch is going to be, like I said, it's a virtual launch party. It'll be on September 8th, the harvest moon. I've always believed that the full moon is all about celebration. It's all about, you know, the full moon delivers, right? So we're going to get together online on our Facebook page and have a full moon celebration and launch of the blog. So the official blog will be revealed on that day. and there will be lots of trivia, lots of fun, giveaways. I have a couple of scholarships for my e-course to give away, and
oh, fun.
Yeah. So lots of goddess stories to be posted and free downloads for journal diary prompts and all sorts of fun stuff. So it's just going to be a party. Just show up and let's play in the realm of possibility. It's an online thing, so wherever you are, you can join us.
Is it going to be all day long?
Nope, it'll be in the evening, 6 to 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Okay.
So
that's good to know.
Yeah, right? Hey, where is it? I'm
oh,
here.
Cool. I'm excited you're giving some scholarships away to Manifesting with the Moon, because that program is
absolutely
awesome. I think that's such a good I think it's a great refresher course for somebody who already works with the Moon, and that there's things in there that you might not already know if you've been working with the phases of the Moon for a while. I love that it's geared around manifestation, magic, the law of attraction, all of that good stuff. And then for people that don't know anything about that but who are excited about manifesting and the law of attraction but don't really understand this whole moon goddess, phases of the moon thing, I think it's
mm-hmm.
the perfect introduction.
Yeah, thanks. And it ties in all of the, you know, the goddess lore. And, yeah, it's just kind of like a conglomerate aggregate of all of that. So it's, you know, moon phases and meanings, and yeah, it's just really cool working with those energies. So thanks for saying
well,
that.
Is this even possible? We only have like 3 or 4 minutes left to get you to tell like a quick little goddess story, like a favorite in a nutshell, or is that not enough time?
Oh my gosh. Okay. You know what? I'll try to make it fast.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so when this all first started, when this all first came about, with the very first workshop that I did, I had just gone through some intense shadow work myself, and I read the story of Uzume, who is of the Shinto Japanese pantheon, which, like, I know, right? Why would me, little white girl in Idaho, you know, connect to this story? Well, Uzume is the goddess of laughter, and she's a shamanic goddess. And here's how her story goes. It actually starts with the goddess of the sun, who, her name is Amaterasu, and I apologize if I mispronounce that. But Amaterasu is her name, and she, after going through some turbulent times with her family members, hid herself away in a cave. And the story goes that as she hid herself away, she locked up the cave with a big boulder, and nobody could move that boulder away from the entrance to the cave. And so as the sun was hidden in this dark place within the earth, the vegetation started to die, and all the people started to die, and the other gods, the demigods, became nervous. And you might be recognizing this story as very similar to the story of Demeter, right?
Yeah.
And Persephone. But anyway, they became nervous, and so they got together, and they were like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do to get her out? We've got to get her back out so that everybody can live and they can worship us. And they tried their hardest to get her to come out of the cave, and nothing worked. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. And until finally, Uzume, the weird goddess, the raunchy weird goddess, came out, and she did this little dance. She flipped over a little wine casket and stood on top of it, and she did this little dance, and she exposed her female parts, and all of the gods started laughing, and Amaterasu was like, what's going on? So she pushed the rock, the boulder, aside from the cave. But what I failed to tell you was that before this dance even happened, Uzume had hung mirrors in the tree right outside the cave so that when Amaterasu pushed that rock back, she saw her own reflection in the mirror. And was just taken by her own beauty and came out of the cave like, oh my gosh, you know, why have I been hiding away? I'm so beautiful.
Aww.
I need to shine. And so really that's all we hear about Izumi. And she just kind of fades away into the background and Amaterasu gets to shine again. So.
Oh, it's that friend that makes you laugh and makes you see your own beauty again. It is.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of Sheila Nag a little bit, if I am pronouncing that right. The little
Sheila
kitchen.
Sheila Nag, okay, yes, sorry.
We're out of time, Dawn. Thank you so much for telling
gosh.
That story and for just
You're
being
welcome.
Here today. It was awesome. Everybody, go check out www.thegoddessdiaries.org and sign up so you get notification to participate in the big launch for the Harvest Moon. Much love.
Thank
Peace.
You so much, Joe.
Yay.
Bye.
Peace.